Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Jimmy Vaccaro from Vegas coming up at 10:20. Cowboys Vikings tonight. It is great. Tigers back on the golf course. And Conor McGregor gets licensed in California. Does that mean that Conor McGregor is going to fight Floyd Mayweather? Jimmy is usually not big on Floyd Mayweather, so we'll talk with Jimmy Vaccaro. And, of course, all the college football games this weekend leading up to conference championship weekend and your Cardinals. All that was with Jimmy Vaccaro. Goody at the Movies is with us today. Good to catch up with Goody. I saw Manchester by the Sea last week. Bill gave it an amazing review. I'm not going to tell you if it was positive or negative. And Bill doesn't do this very often, but we're going to talk about that movie with Casey Affleck. It was terrific. Also, Allied, Love Witch, and what movies to look forward to with the holidays here in the next 3 weeks. That's with Goody at the Movies coming up at 10:45. Because you got all the sports stuff down, guys. You need to go on a date. You need to get a life. It's not just 24/7, although that's what we do. We also are cognizant that you need to be out and enjoy yourselves. Last night, there was just not much on in the way of sports. I watched some of the Suns in Atlanta and thought the Hawks jerseys looked like they belonged to no offense, the YMCA in Apache Junction, but the YMCA in Apache Junction, that's how they looked. The Suns were able to hang on and get a win, and, you know, it's fine. I can try to get myself interested in trying to dissect why the Cardinals continue to stink, but all it comes down to at this time of year is just go out on the football field this weekend and show me that you can get through a mistake-free filled game. Show me that your special teams can do something, anything that is special, because they haven't been able to do it. Give me some reasons to believe that as you look at the defense, that they are not just a bunch of guys playing on islands. Is this the end of the Calais Campbell era? Is Robert Kamdiche going to see the light of day this any time this season? Just at any point this season, are we going to see him or not? And Kirk Cousins and the Redskins, you may look at it and say, oh, the Redskins, that's going to be a tight, tough game. Well, I don't know. Kirk Cousins was voted the NFC Offensive Player of the Month for November. So the Redskins come here, and the Cardinals have enough talent to beat them. But to sit here and try to explain away why they have not been good this year, why they've been one of the top two failures in the entire National Football League outside of Carolina, I'm just not going to do that hour after hour. I've done it enough. Guys, show me why I should have hope that you can get some things turned around at the end of this season. That's it. It was very good news last night that Major League Baseball got a labor agreement put together. I think the better news is that we're no longer going to have to see the All-Star game being rolled out there as, well, this is going to decide who gets home field advantage in the postseason. And then you have the Cubs with over 10 more wins than the Indians playing Game 7 in the Indians' ballpark, which makes zero sense. Baseball and all these sports go through these phases of, well, we got to do something to get people back interested in our games. So we're going to roll things out. And then what do you know? You bring them back. It's like the NFL giving us Thursday Night Football. Yeah, I'm excited for the Vikings in Dallas. I think I'd probably be a little bit more excited if both these teams had a bye the week before. And you can say, yeah, Dallas played last Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, so it's even playing field. It's an anomaly in this current system. I mean, it really is. I wish Adrian Peterson were able to play. He's trying to get back. About the only intrigue around this game before the buildup tonight, there's a couple things. I mean, I am interested. I am going to watch tonight. This game doesn't do a number tonight, a big number. Then there is something really wrong with what's going on with the NFL. I think the NFL, because of the Dallas Cowboys being relevant this year as the season has progressed, you put all the stuff at the start of the year, whether it was the election or whether it was Brady or whether it was Manning, all the things we talked about back in September and October, and they were all valid, by the way. We just wasn't throwing darts in the air. I do think the Cowboys, having won 10 games in a row, because most of our country is a bunch of bandwagon-jumping Cowboy fans. It's just the way it is. There's not a bigger bunch of front-running fans than the Cowboy fans. Packer fans will be there through thick and thin. Cowboy fans, are you kidding me? And the Raiders being relevant again. The Raider fans are all over the place, and they were just god-awful for 20 years. Just dreadful. And so you have two franchises that were once proud, and as the season has progressed, I'm interested in both of those stories. Like the Raiders last week against Carolina, I sat there and watched. You know, it wasn't the Texans and Chargers. It wasn't Brock Osweiler continuing to stink. So tonight, look, Dallas is fun to watch. Minnesota does not have Adrian Peterson. They're not going to have their head coach tonight. Mike Zimmer is not going to coach tonight. He has a detached retina. That is interesting to me with a game of this magnitude. I don't know if the Vikings are going to be able to stop Ezekiel Elliott. I don't know if Dak Prescott's going to continue. I think there is this intrigue around if Dak Prescott struggles for three quarters, do the Cowboys turn around and send Tony Romo in out there? If the Cowboys get out to a big lead, do you give Tony Romo some snaps and reps based on what if Dak gets hurt, gets concussed, whatever it is? There's this looming over the shoulder intrigue about, is Tony Romo going to run out on the field? And as he's running out there, he's going to grab his back and fall to the ground, and they're going to have to amputate him, you know, because he's always hurt. But he's still there. So I'm interested in that tonight, too. So we'll get into that. Jimmy Vaccaro here in about 10 minutes. Tiger Woods plays in about an hour and 20 minutes down in the Bahamas. I put this up earlier about Tiger Woods playing for the first time in 15 months. Yawn or really good for sport? Now, I've not checked it in the last, I don't know, hour, but early on it was yawn. Like people not really that interested. And then it got a little closer, but I do think there is a segment that is just done with golf. The younger segment that's coming through hasn't seen Tiger Woods in 15 months. And when they saw him the last few years, they didn't see what we saw 5 years ago. They didn't see what we saw 10 years ago. So getting Tiger out on the golf course today, for me, I've got meetings today. I'm going to be at places, but guess what? I've scheduled some of those meetings to be where I can watch. I've scheduled some of those meetings to be at places like sports restaurants. So, yeah, we'll take a corner table. And by the way, can you flip over to the Golf Channel? So I'll keep an eye on him today. That's of interest to me as well. Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Nothing, depending on the day, is Eric Sorensen. He joins us. What is on your radar today in sports? What's of interest to you today?
I actually like what you put on Twitter about Tiger. I think that's an interesting and compelling question. And I personally feel... I feel both. I'm excited, but I'm also very guarded because, Brad, how many of these finger quote comebacks have we seen over the years that usually end like a car crash? And until Tiger proves otherwise, I'm guessing that today and if he makes it to this weekend, the trend will continue.
51% yawn, 49% say great for sport.
It's pretty close. I would love to see him at least. I don't think he's ever going to return to dominance, but I would like to see him win a couple more big events simply because Tiger is so iconic. It's just sort of sad how he is just, in a way, just sort of drifted out of the spotlight and has just become, I don't want to say common, but at this point, we're remembering more of what he's done in the recent past than how great he was at the peak of his golf career.
Okay, so you can go over to Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. On my timeline, I put up the question, Tiger Woods back on the golf course today, tees off at 11:30 Mountain Time. Yawn or great for sport? It's 51% yawn, 49% great for sport. That's much tighter than what I thought it would be. I'd like to see I'd like to see the metrics, the demo of who is saying yawn. It's got to be younger, right? There are certain players in sports. When Wayne Gretzky was at the end, I still watched Wayne Gretzky. When Michael Jordan was at the end, I still watched Michael Jordan. Watching Kobe last year towards the end was getting to be a hard watch because he was jacking up shot after shot after shot. And, you know, basketball is a deal where in a team sport, there's four guys that would run down the court. They'd stand around. Kobe would do his thing. And he'd jack up 30, 40. The last game where he went, 60, I think it was, or over 50. I'm watching it, and it's great theater. This is how we want to remember him. I don't know. Maybe there's a reason why the Lakers are a 500 team this year and almost in the playoffs, where last year they weren't.
And there's something to be said, Brad, I think, for leaving at the right time. Like John Elway left the NFL at just the right time. You know what? I'm going to win a Super Bowl, and then I'm going to walk away. And the last thing you're going to remember from my career is me holding up this trophy. Some players...
Peyton Manning.
Exactly.
Peyton Manning, he might have stuck around, Eric, to your point. Peyton Manning might have stuck around a year too long. And like in Tiger's case, can you imagine Tiger sitting up with Nick Faldo and Jim Nantz wearing a tie and saying, here comes Bubba Watson off the tee. Well, he really hit a poor shot there. I can't imagine him going into the booth.
But to that end, Brad, could you have imagined Alex Rodriguez going to the booth and being as likable and professional and well-spoken as he was during the playoffs? I couldn't. He was great. Yeah, he's great.
He's really, really good.
Very good.
He's really interesting. He's not afraid to say things that need to be said. Yeah, it's almost like you just forget that he was a Yankee and that he was despised and that he came across as, you know, just a bad dude.
Yeah, talk about clean up your image. Or trying to clean up your image.
But in Tiger's case, is it that he's just got to be one of those guys that goes out and keeps doing this. You know, if this weekend, because this is a no-cut event, right? So yesterday played in the Pro-Am. This is a no-cut event. And he goes out there, and there's only, I think there's 30, 40 players. He goes out there this weekend and doesn't play well. Let's say he finishes in dead flat last. Does he walk off there and just say, that's it, this is the rest? You're going to remember me here in the Bahamas at some event in early December versus I'm going to go play Augusta and I'm going to walk out of the PGA Championship and I'm going to go to the British Open and they're going to have to drag me out of here through the US Open. And when it's all done, this is who I am. I'm going to give it one more shot in 2017. I think that's how he's got to go. So if it's a disaster this weekend, and I'm kind of hoping it's not, there's probably some people that would love to see him just fall flat on his face this weekend. I am not one of those. I'm hoping he does well. We're going to get into the Oregon. There's some stuff in college football. Oregon just completely destroyed Mark Helfrich. We're going to get into that in about 15 minutes. But up next, and all the other coaching stuff, there's some new names associated with Oregon that are interesting, some movement over at Houston today. So we've got some college coaching stuff, some of the bowl game stuff in about 15 minutes. On the other side, though, we'll go to Las Vegas, Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort Casino, the best in the business at all the odds, all the numbers, as you guys get ready for tonight's Vikings Cowboy game, all the college football this weekend. That's next. I'm Brad Sussman. Going to go to Vegas here in a couple of minutes. Jimmy Vaccaro standing by, 41-year Vegas bookmaker, South Point Casino Resort odds maker. A lot to get to with Jimmy. That is coming up here in a couple of minutes. On the college football front today, so Oregon, the story at Oregon, let's backtrack here for a minute. Mark Helfrich gets let go. First of all, Mark Helfrich should have been let go immediately after it all transpired up in Oregon last weekend. Instead, he was left twisting in the wind for 2-3 days. No coach deserves that. It's not like you don't know what you're going to do on these coaching searches weeks in advance. I've never seen, unless there's just something really out of left field, and Mark Helfrich is not a really out of left field kind of guy, okay? And after they lost Oregon State, pretty apparent that they were going to make a move up there, and they'd been swirling for about 6 weeks. Some of the national pundits, some of the national names and whose opinions I do respect and trust, I don't respect and trust all of them, but the guys that I trust and respect, had been reporting for the last 3 weeks that Mark Helfrich was going to get blown out and Charlie Strong was going to get blown out of Texas, and they were reporting that all the way back in October. So, A, Oregon left Helfrich scrambling and twisting in the wind. That wasn't good. B, when they decided to make the announcement, Oregon's people within their own athletic department, Oregon put out a press release on Mark Helfrich that was about as damning a press release. It wasn't just, hey, he is no longer our head coach. Instead, it was listing things like what his record was and what he did wrong, which you just never, ever see. It was complete amateur hour. It was something where I'm like, what is this? And so that was step number two that Oregon crapped the bed on.
I have to read the last couple paragraphs, Brad, because it's just it's so amateur. Okay, so the last two paragraphs. Oregon's first loss of 2016 was at Nebraska, a 35-32 defeat in which the Ducks went for two after all five of their touchdowns and converted once. The next week, Pac-12 play began with a loss to Colorado in which the Ducks allowed 41 points and threw an interception on a potential game-tying TD in the final minute. Okay, that you thought that was a little sketchy? Final paragraph. The recently completed season also included a one-sided losses to Washington, parentheses 70-21, Southern California, parentheses 45-20, and Stanford, parentheses 52-27. An upset of number 11 Utah on November 19th kept alive Oregon's hopes of making a bowl despite a 5-7 record, but the loss in Corvallis ended that.
So that was written by a guy who used to write for the Eugene Register Guard. That is the newspaper in Eugene, Oregon. Guys, you don't go back and retrace why it is you fire a coach. You don't retrace, well, there was a 2-point conversion that was missed in the first game against Nebraska. That's the type of stuff that you just look at and say, that stuff happens at Southeast North Dakota Central. That doesn't happen at the University of Oregon, a big-time program. So it kind of tells me a few things. When Chip Kelly left and they went with Mark Helfrich, that was fine. That was fine. They decided to promote from within. But clearly they missed on Mark Helfrich. Clearly they did. He was able to get Marcus Mariota in recruiting, but some guys are great recruiters. They're just not cut out to be head coaches. So that's one. Two, the level of talent that was going to Oregon. Oregon, you could make the argument, was so far ahead of the game, but now everybody is caught up with them. By that, I mean, Chip Kelly had this offense that nobody else was running. He had this offense that nobody could stop when they went to Oregon. And Oregon had these facilities that they decided to turn into a place that just dwarfed all other facilities that were out there. So they won the arms race on facilities. And then they went a step further, and Oregon was the first one to say, we're not going to have just home uniforms and road uniforms. We're going to have, I don't know, 10 different or 7 different. Or they went through this phase, 2010, 2011, 2012, where every week the Ducks were getting this hype buildup of all the uniforms that they had. So they had three things going their way that other programs weren't doing. Let's just bring that back into our great state. Okay. In the last few years, Arizona State, this actually I can go back into the mid-2000s. Eric, you remember when they eliminated Sparky? And so Sparky was eliminated by, we're going to rebrand, we're going to get younger and all that stuff. And that didn't go over well at all with the fan base. So then they started doing all this stuff with uniforms. Sorry, guys, Oregon lapped you. Oregon did this stuff 5 years, 7 years, 8 years ago. And so the uniform combination thing in trying to keep up with Oregon, others had already copied it. And now we're in a space where everybody is trying to throw a different set of uniforms out there in a way to entice recruits. So what Oregon did all those years ago, now it's commonplace. Now it's you're going to Eugene, Oregon. Okay, and if you're going to Eugene, Oregon, you really have to want to get to Eugene, Oregon. There's not too many ways to get into Eugene, Oregon. I can take a direct flight from Eugene over at Gateway Airport. I can fly into Portland and have to drive down, but it's not like there's an easy way to get to that place. So the whole thing about cool uniforms, really neat offense, really different approach with facilities, none of that matters anymore because everybody's in the same playing field. We'll get to some of their other coaching candidates here in a bit. But on the other side, Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We're looking forward to Dallas, Minnesota tonight. What a great weekend with all the championship games from conferences. The Fiesta Bowl, we'll find out who the matchup will be in the Final Four. We, of course, on New Year's Eve, will be part of the college football playoff with one of the semis. Looking forward to that. It'll be 2 against 3. I am hoping Ohio State, Washington would be a great, and the whole country would be represented that way. Because Alabama would play Clemson, assuming it's Clemson that gets in. They could play down in Atlanta. It's a 2-hour drive both ways. Washington plays Ohio State. Ohio State will play anywhere. They'll play in Nome, Alaska, and they'll bring 50,000 people. Doesn't matter. So there's a lot to look forward to this weekend and to bring it all into perspective from the Vegas point of view. Guys, we're talking about a 4-hour drive from Arizona, a 50-minute flight to fly on into Vegas and stay at the South Point Casino and Resort. And you see Jimmy Vaccaro, 41 years. He's been getting it done as the bookmaker in Vegas, the voice of record on all things on that front. Connor McGregor. McGregor, Floyd Mayweather do anything at all for you now that McGregor has gotten licensed in California, Jimmy?
No, not much, my friend. First of all, thank you for the nice introduction. That actually two people who are avid listeners to your station and your show came up to me over the weekend and introduced themselves and said that they had obviously listened and they had a good time. And they actually got a free buffet, also, so it was kind of good weekend.
Wow.
Insane. The Conor McGregor thing, yeah, that stuff is so much in the future right now. You don't really think about it, even though it's part of it's on your table. But with so much of this football, it's so exciting that right now that's on the back burner. And last week, Brad, we've been talking about it for years. I have never seen so many people come and bet from Thursday to Sunday night. It was incredible. You might have thought it was the first 4 days of NCAA tournament, but let's just call it like it is. Thanksgiving weekend is Thanksgiving and football. It's our culture now, and you can't have one without the other. So it's been a lot of fun, and wow, what another big weekend we got coming up.
Well, I was going to say, you're going to set some numbers this weekend, I would think, starting tonight. What's it look like tonight? Dallas and the Vikings.
Dallas and the Vikings, as I've been saying again, not that I'm Nostradamus, but I mean, the Cowboys and the Raiders are the new American team. Dallas was America's team for 40 years, went sideways for about the last decade, but they are right back in top. And a close second is the Oakland Raiders. And right now, even though it's the first game of the schedule, the Dallas-Minnesota game, even with Mike Zimmer getting the surgery, it won't affect the football line. This line has been bouncing back as Dallas, a 3-point road favorite, bet up to 3.5 and quickly bought back to 3. We are taking as much money on that game right now as if this game were played on Sunday. It's magical to see what Dallas is doing to the betting counters right now.
Cardinals, Washington down here on Sunday afternoon, Jimmy.
Cardinals and Washington, boy, you know, what can I say about your guys? They're having a lot of trouble. Make no mistake about it. This number would have been about 5, 5.5 a few short months ago, but the Redskins at least showing some life with Cousins there in Arizona. I don't know what's happened down there, but it surely hasn't been good. You're a small home favorite, 2.5. And what you're saying is that basically, you're under a field goal at home, meaning you're no better than a pick'em situation on a neutral field. What can I say, kid, but I think you're going to get the broom out in a few weeks and dust a lot of people away from your organization. But they need to do something because with the talent that they had and where we had them listed way back in early August, it's simply about 9 points off of what the power rating would have been, what we sent it out way back in August as opposed to what it is right now. And truthfully, I have no idea why they're having such a bad year.
Well, I don't want to take a whole segment from you on that, so we're just going to move on nicely. New England, Tom Brady's knee, a little gimpy. They take on the Rams. You look over at the AFC, Jimmy, it seems like for years it's New England or Pittsburgh. This year with the Raiders coming on and just a whole bunch of teams in the West, tell me about the Patriots, the view in Vegas, not just on this game, but on the Patriots in general.
The Patriots still get the money. They still get a lot of money on it, but they're really not the darling that they once been, only because with the Brady suspension, he at times seems to be put off everything else and really not responsive to some of the people. He's a different Tom Brady than he was, and I think the general public is looking that way too. But the big players still fall in love with him. Example, are you ready? A $200,000 money line parlay last week with the Patriots to the Steelers. Now, the Patriots won, the Steelers won very easily, but the guy that bet the $200,000 on the Patriots was sweating his behind off a little bit with about 3 minutes to go in the game. They draw that much attention. They are a 13.5-point favorite this week. That line will go nothing but up. It is the biggest spread of the weekend. And, yes, they still draw attention, but not the number one attention as they did just a few short years ago.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino Resort with us. Over on the college end, tomorrow night you have the Pac-12 title game, Washington, Colorado. You in Vegas on it.
Wow, I mean, what can you say? Here's two teams, especially Colorado, come out of the woodwork. Nobody had them as high as they are playing right now. Washington, we gave them a little bit of a chance, but naturally they're playing much better than we thought. Have a chance to go to the big dance, make no mistake about it. Washington, a 7.5-point favorite. Total is 57. There will be money on Colorado. They're obviously just playing very well. Washington, naturally, you saw the entire year, their class of that league, but it won't be a bargain, you know, playing at Santa Clara. They'll both draw a lot of people, but 7.5, I'll put it this way. The parlay card players will be on Washington. The smart guys will be taking Colorado, especially over a touchdown.
Big Ten, Penn State, Wisconsin.
Here we go. Penn State, Wisconsin. Game open. Wisconsin won. We're up to 2.5. A little more money naturally on the Wisconsin Badgers here. Indoor fight. Obviously, it's kind of sad that, you know, even though they win this, they might not be in the Big Ten. But Penn State, after the first 3 weeks, they're ready to fire this Franklin kid. But naturally, he turned things around quite a bit. But they have an uphill battle. Wisconsin's a very, very hard-nosed team. They should be a small favorite, and they are. I would suggest more people from Wisconsin, being it's not a big road trip there, but should be exciting.
Let you go off that, Jimmy. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
All right, buddy. Talk to you later.
Stay well. It's Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Casino and Resort. I want to circle back over to Oregon because we ran out of time in the last segment. So, and this impacts ASU and U of A, and that's what I'm about, is things within our state. And then when you see a job like Oregon come open, it certainly sounds like Cal is going to come open, that Sonny Dykes is now on the list to go to Baylor. And Sonny Dykes, I don't know, he just hasn't really caught on and resonated outside of Jared Goff up in the Bay Area. Now, I could be wrong on that, but this is just my view. And in the Pac-12 North, you've got Washington sitting up there, and Oregon is a state of disarray. Oregon comes to Arizona, they take away recruits. So the Oregon job is one to keep an eye on. Well, I'm going to hit the movies here in about 5 minutes. So Greg Schiano's name has come up with Oregon. Jim McElwain's name has come up with the Oregon. Jim McElwain, of course, has just been at Florida a couple of years. He's from the Pacific Northwest. You go to the Florida job, and Florida plays this weekend against Alabama, and it doesn't matter what you do at Florida. They're never going to be happy. They're just not, and they don't have the best facilities down there. So is Florida a better job than Oregon? Eric, you should get in on this one. Is Florida a better job, or is Oregon a better job than Florida? In my opinion, Oregon is a better job than Florida.
Oh, wow. That's a good question. I would say the facility and Phil Knight make it a better job, but it's never been difficult to recruit to Florida, and Florida has to be ranked as one of the top 10 jobs in the country, I would think. History,
but if you're
in the SEC, tons of great recruits like right outside your doorstep.
But you're also in that space, you're fighting Miami of Florida, you're fighting Florida State, Notre Dame goes down there, Texas goes down there, Clemson goes down there. It's not like you're sitting, Alabama goes over there. It's not like he's got it all to himself. But if he can get enough of those kids, and yeah, convincing a kid to leave Florida to fly 5 hours to Eugene, Oregon, that's a haul. But Jim McElwain's name is interesting to me. Bruce Feldman was the first one to report that Jim McElwain is a name that has surfaced up there. And I believe Bruce. Greg Schiano is the defensive coordinator over at Ohio State. So Greg Schiano turned Rutgers into a winner. And the last time he looked at Rutgers, they're just horrid. So he had to do something right there. He went to the NFL for a short period of time. Didn't work out. That happens to certain coaches. Greg Schiano is the defensive coordinator at Ohio State. Obviously, great brand. He's done about as much as he can do there. Greg Schiano comes into the Pac-12 conference. Does that throw the fear of God into any of these coaches that are out there? I don't think it does myself.
That's not a real sexy name for a school like Oregon. I mean, Oregon can really go deep sea fishing when it comes to their coach search. They have the facilities. They have the tradition. They have the money. They have the Nike brand. If I'm a big a deep pocket with the Ducks, and you present me with Greg Schiano, I'm going to be less than thrilled. And that's nothing against him, because you're right. He did do a very good job at Rutgers, not the easiest place to win. He won, but he never really, really won big.
Okay, so Oregon, it was reported yesterday, there was a Oregon Duck plane that flew to South Bend. Now, Brian Kelly's name has been out there. It doesn't mean that this actually took place, but it was reported. I have not heard anything else about it. I'm merely bringing up Brian Kelly's name because his name was associated with Texas and a few other places. To me, that's a sexy hire. You go convince a coach to leave Notre Dame to come to Oregon. That's a big-time hire.
Yeah, and talk about a coach that fell off the tree quickly. I mean, Notre Dame was in the Fiesta Bowl last year, and now there's rumors of him either leaving on his own accord or possibly getting pushed out. So,
and then there's this so there's a whole bunch of names associated with Oregon. We haven't heard anything yet from Arizona State. Arizona State has not made any announcement about what they're going to do with their staff. Arizona has not made any announcement of what they're going to do with their staff. I cannot for the life of me imagine sitting here on December 1st that every staff member at ASU and U of A is going to come back as bad as their season has been. We'll go back to Mark Helfrich. Mark Helfrich was out recruiting. Okay, they lost Oregon State. He met with the media Sunday morning. He left Sunday afternoon. He was recruiting and was called back by the university to inform him, hey, you're done. See you later. Get out of here. Thank you for playing. I can't imagine why, if you're ASU or U of A, you would send all of your coaches out on the road to go chase players other than you just don't want to fall behind others. Okay, there is that. This weekend, ASU is supposed to have Paul Amau and Austin Jackson on campus this weekend. It's a big, big weekend because these are the two premier recruits, I would think, in the state this year, outside of Ryan Kelly, who they've already landed. And there's some other fine players, but it's a big weekend for them. And the fact that nothing has come out as of yet, this is the time of year. Between now and about the 15th of December, you're going to have all these teams in bowl games too. Stuff's going to filter down. But if you're Todd Graham and Rich Rod, make your changes now, I would think.
And this is really one of the few, if any, advantages of not going to a bowl game is now that the season is officially over and you don't have to prepare for playing another game, these coaches can fly around and get back in front of recruits and say, hey, we're still here. Remember us.
We just had a down season. We had a bunch of injuries. But, you know, with down seasons, it presents you an opportunity.
There
you can come here and play right away. Hey, ma'am, your son is so great. I've never seen a player as good as him. And I, of course, have been around all sorts of talented people. Peyton Manning's got nothing on your son, even though he's 14, 15. Yeah, I could see him being the next John Elway. I mean, all that stuff.
These cinnamon rolls you baked are the best cinnamon rolls I've ever had.
These are the best cinnamon rolls you've ever baked. So we hear these stories. You think we're making this stuff up? No. On the other side, Goody at the Movies. So Manchester by the Sea is supposedly, and I saw it, my wife and I saw it, and one of the best movies of the year. I'll tell you if I thought that and what Bill thinks, if you should go see it this weekend, because it comes out. That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, it is time to turn our attention to getting to life this weekend, even though there's a ton going on. You need to get out to the movies. Bill Goodykoontz, chief film critic for Gannett, AZ Central, all-around good guy. All right, so I saw Manchester by the Sea with my wife, and we saw it last week. We thought it was really good. She liked it a lot more than I did. I didn't hate it. I just kind of liked it. It's gotten some buzz as maybe the best film of the year. What do you think of this movie?
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. If you describe it to somebody, and I talked to Casey Affleck, who is a star, and we talked about this a little bit, and you don't want to give too much away, because one of the great things about the movie is they reveal things slowly. Like, Casey Affleck plays this guy who clearly is burdened by something in his life. You know, you don't know what, but he's kind of moping through life right now. And there are whispers about him in the town. His brother dies, and he has to go back. And that, by the way, is not what that got him moping. But it's revealed slowly. But the thing about it is, if you try to tell somebody about it, it sounds depressing. But it's not depressing. It's parts of it are really funny, particularly involving his nephew, who is, as and Affleck and I talked about this as well, is having a little more romantic success than most teenagers, even if they're movie stars, have. that kid is really good. He was quite good, but I just think that this is going to be one that, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of good movies this year. I've liked a lot of good movies. I'm going to end up giving five stars to four movies this year, which I was like four more than I've ever done or something. But I think this is going to be the one that 10, 15, 20 years from now, it's timeless. You go back and you'll still be watching it. It'll still be like, wow, now that's a movie.
It's kind of like Shawshank was on last night, and I just stopped because it's there. That's what you do. This was written and directed by Kenneth Lagerman, and I saw a story and read some stories from him, and he was talking about trying to get into the movie, and you put it well, Bill, and that's you can't give away too much in this. But off the top of the movie, Casey Affleck is like this janitor plunging disgusting toilets and trying to fix shower heads, and his life is just miserable.
And fighting with everybody while he does.
Fighting and getting fights, right? And Lagerman said he had to go back after 6 months and rewrite the script. So he kept drilling down on it because he felt it was moving too slowly. I felt like I could see some of what he was saying afterward. When all the dots are connected in this movie, you do sit back in your seat. At least I did. My wife didn't say, "Wow, okay, this is really, really good."
I think it's also one of those ones that's going to grow on you. Like, you're going to appreciate it more and more. Like, the movie that I always think of in that regard is Michael Clayton, George Clooney. And it was one of the first movies that I reviewed when I got this job. And I gave it 4.5 stars. And that to me has always been the one I wish I had back. That's a 5-star movie. That is a great movie. And I don't know if I was just trying to, you know, I was a little wary to give something 5 stars. But that's one of those movies that you just go back to again and again and again, and you just think, man, that's a good movie. And I think that's what this is going to be like. I don't think it is a long movie, and I don't remember exactly how long, but it's like 2 hours and 20 minutes or something like that. But I didn't think it dragged. I will say this. I don't think this is going to give too much away. When he's going to come to the town, his brother dies, which is not a spoiler. I mean, that's sort of what sets the whole movie in motion. And he's going to go to the town, and you hear people saying, like, wow, is that the guy? And they're like, yeah. And you don't know what they're talking about. And my hope, when he went to the hockey practice to pick up his nephew and tell him that his dad had died, my hope was that he was some sort of hockey legend in the town.
Yes.
and as it became more and more clear that that was not the case, and then as it became clear what was really going on, right up to the very minute, I was sitting there talking silently to myself saying, Hockey legend.
Yeah,
yes. No, he's not a hockey legend.
No, he's not close to it. Let me ask you this. So you're going to give this one 5 stars, and you said that there were 3 or 4 other movies this year that you would give the 5 stars to. What are those other 3 or 4 movies this year?
Well, Hell or High Water was one, and I really like that movie. Moonlight is one.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, Manchester by the Sea, and I am duty bound just to say that the 4th one has not come out yet. But I think it's also fair to say that it's not going to be too hard to figure out what it is.
It's not Star Wars, is it?
It's not Star Wars. No. Oh, yeah, are we even allowed to say the word Star Wars? I mean, nobody's seen that. I think this happens every year. People say, "Oh, this is another terrible year for movies." The people who say that don't go to movies.
That's true.
This year in particular has been great. It's like when I did TV. Everybody, you know, and this will date me a little bit, but this is kind of my predecessor, Dave Walker. I used to say when I first got that job, I said, "Didn't it bother you when people would say, 'Oh, I never watch TV'?" And he said, "No, not at all." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because they're lying." He said, "Of course they watch TV." And it became true that I would talk to these people, you know, at a cocktail party or something. They say, "What do you do?" And I say, "I'm a TV critic." And they sort of, you know, put their nose in there and say, "Well, I don't watch television, or I only watch PBS or something like that." And then 2 seconds later, they'd say, "Did you see Frasier last week?" And it's like, "Oh, okay, I see what we're doing here."
Yeah, that's like athletes saying, "I never read," or coaches, I never read the paper. Those people, they don't know what they're talking about. Right, I gotcha.
Sadly, they do exist.
Of course they do. Love Witch. Love the Love Witch. Tell me about the Love Witch.
I'll tell you that it's like nothing you've ever seen, probably. But if you were a fan of, like, there was this short, brief history of movies in the 70s, late 60s, early 70s, of these sort of erotic horror movies. And they're really bizarre. And they're Italian. There's a name for them that I can't pronounce. But they had some American influenced films, and this is a total throwback to this. And I cannot think of the writer and director's name, but she is fanatic about
these. Anna Biller, right?
Yes. Yeah. And she is fanatic about detail. She did the costumes herself. She did everything. But then they have these weird anachronisms. Somebody will pull out an iPhone, you know, but it's about this woman who is indeed a witch. And she keeps, I don't think this gives anything away. she keeps saying, I couldn't recover when my husband left me, And in the very beginning, you see in a flashback, her husband left her because she poisoned him. and she's like, I can't believe he left me. And he's like lying on the ground, she is indeed a witch. Not quite like a Wiccan or something, but a little darker than that. When she seduces these guys, they can't take it. They go nuts and they kill themselves or they get killed or something. And she's trying to find true love. And it's silly and it's ridiculous and it's bloody and gory, some of it. But it's a lot of fun. And in terms of like getting the details right, it's perfect.
I saw a headline somewhere where The Love Witch, How to Make a Badass Feminist Movie. That was the the title of it. Well, so I don't know if that's way too much.
That's the thing. That's what happens. I mean, she's in a lot of those movies, the woman was this sort of damsel in distress, and she would be the one getting killed. And this one, the tables are turned. She's the one doing the killing. She's not an out-and-out. She's not trying to kill these people necessarily. It's kind of the way that works out.
Allied has been out a couple of weeks, but has gotten a lot of buzz, and we have not talked about Allied. So, what do you think?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
I thought the first half was good, where Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. I talked to her too, and she supposedly was rumored to be the reason that Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie broke up. But I could not bring myself to ask her if she was, because I thought, what a stupid thing to ask. And the other thing was, she threw me off because I spoke, and she speaks with a fairly thick French accent. And she said, after I asked a question, she said, "I'm sorry. Could you remind me which movie we're talking about?" I was like, okay. Yeah, I guess she's got a lot of movies out. The first time, they're spies, and they're going to kill this Nazi guy in Casablanca, and that part's pretty good. And they're leading up to it, and they have to pretend they're husband and wife. And of course, if you've ever been to a movie in your life, you know that they're going to fall in love for real. So they do. And then the second half of the movie, they move back to London, where he's based, and get married and have a baby. And then his superiors come to him and say, "She's a German double agent, and you need to figure out if she really is. And if she is, you need to kill her. And if you don't, we'll kill you." And so then the second half, that sounds like that would be really intriguing.
Yes,
and
yes. Mostly,
it's not. It's like him moping around and it's one of those things where, if there's any detectable difference in her daily life, he wonders about it. And then of course he starts acting weird and she wonders about it. I think in my review, I said something along the lines of like the film, I lost interest when she traded in her machine gun for a pacifier. I don't require like shoot 'em up action all the time. It's not like that. It's just that there was a lot more intensity, and they just both seemed a lot more involved. Part of the deal is they've got to play these people that are strained right now, and that's just not as much fun to watch. So.
Anything in the next 3 weeks, because we are hitting the holiday, we're in the holiday season, but when it comes to Christmas, have you seen a couple of things that you don't want to give it away, but that you say people are going to stand in line for long hours outside of Star Wars, because they're going to want to see this? I saw Man Down the other night with Shia LaBeouf, and it was okay. It was okay. Myself, you might love it. Is there anything coming up?
The movie that, and if you can piece all this together, maybe it turns into a story. The movie that you should get in line to see now, you should buy your tickets now, and you should buy more than one ticket. You should buy more than one ticket for more than one showing, is La La Land. With Ryan Gosling and Emma Stone, and he plays an actress trying to make it in Hollywood, and he plays a musician, and it's just
a musical, right?
It's a full-on musical. They sing all the time, dance all the time. It sounds like something that you wouldn't watch, on a bet, and it's fantastic. Cannot recommend it highly enough.
La La Land. All right.
Yes.
All right. Well, get into your screening. I appreciate your time and enjoy your weekend. Thanks.
You too. Thanks.
See ya. There's Bill Goodykins. Good Eat the Movies. I was going to catch up with Bill. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out. High School College Pro, Pro College High School, Arizona, Arizona, Arizona Centric. It's all there for you. Thanks for being with us.